I think this is where need to be very intentional and inclusive of our parents in our schools and really bringing them in to learn more about what they want and how we're going to achieve it. I think, as you said, there are some parents that are more accessible to be in our schools every day or be at school committee meetings and really fight for the needs to support their children and think that it's talking about equity for all and then it doesn't because it might push down another demographic. And so what I think that we can do is really be, just lost my train of thought. I think that we could really utilize the initiatives that Dr. Salim is trying to put forward around making sure that there are more robust learning for all of our students to be successful, thinking about the hands-on supports for our students, thinking about reaching the needs of all different learning styles in our classroom?
Well, we'll actually get to academic diversity in the next session. I'm talking about expectations for school. So this can be, should kids have more or less homework at home? Mm-hmm. What constitutes appropriate behavior and discipline policies? If you come from a different culture, I would say everybody can usually agree on things being good or bad, but the level to which something is considered inappropriate really depends on what culture you were raised in.
Mm-hmm.
Parent-school power dynamics. Some parents expect schools to be role model of democracy where I, as the parent, am the voter and the taxpayer and the school works for me. Some view the school as a power structure that they are beholden to. So it's those sorts of cultural differences in expectations for schools that I'm asking about.
And so I think that we need to be very, that we need to be able to work with our parents. We need to work with our students. We need to think about there are community-based programs like through the community engagement team that helps to support families of different diverse cultures and communities. And we need to partner with them to think about what are the needs to best heighten supports and resources at our schools. I think that there needs to be a balance in terms of how much homework or how much recess or how much fun and play. We want to make sure, hands down and period, that my education was fun, was mm-hmm. joyful. It was very rigorous. And I think today, and I never once said as a kid growing up that I hated school and did not want to be there. Mm-hmm. And so it hurts me. It really, really hurts me when I hear students today say, I don't want to be here. I don't like it. And so that tells me that there's not enough relationship building that's happening, that there's not enough I see myself in the culture of the school building when I come in here to make this a place that feels warm or feels like I want to be an active member in the school community. So I think, again, if we're able to partner with community engagement team and think about how do we connect and how do we provide all of our families to feel like they belong and that they can be a part of rigorous learning. When I was a kid, some of my friends, their parents who may have done like African dancing or something like that came into our schools and actually taught dance steps. Mm-hmm. And that was great. And that wasn't just one time. It happened on quite a few different occasions. And it talked about just togetherness. It talked about thinking about cultural proficiency, right, or cultural learning around mm-hmm. Our classrooms, but it's also where we can bring our teachers into those spaces and let them see a little bit more about who our young people are as individuals as well. So I think that that's something I think would be a great plan to bring into our schools and work with our principals to really think about how, as they are the leaders of those schools, to really think about how we are pushing and promoting the diversity of our students and then what does that look like as we push forward in the different dynamic initiatives that Dr. Salim is pushing forward as well? So how are we bridging all of that together is, I think, where we need to kind of work on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think I'll just ask you one more follow-up on this before moving on to the next one. There are places like, for example, in the context of showing your home culture, there's no friction there. But on the other hand, if one parent would like, for example, 3 hours of homework every night and mm-hmm. another would like a homework-free school, that's a place where you have a relatively fundamental friction. If one parent would really like mixed age classes like you have at Tobin, mm-hmm. then you fundamentally either need a program like Tobin, which at that point splits the community and is slightly segregatory, or you have a standardized education where some parents' needs aren't being met. And if that's the major communities you can hear from the parents, if it's, for example, a small immigrant community or one parent, then you don't necessarily hear from them. So there are places where there are fundamental frictions, and I'm sort of wondering about the places where there are fundamental frictions.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate
academic diversity, I think that there may not be frictions.
Yes. And I think that that's critical, because if we are thinking about how to work together in community, and if one parent is really vocalizing that they want more homework for their young person, and another family is like, I believe my kid is more of a hands-on kid, likes to play more, and that's where they're learning best. I don't want to see us do things separated and be in different silos. That's mm-hmm. not what I want to see. I want us to see about how we can work on the balance of it and try to merge what learning actually looks like, so that maybe it's not 3 hours per night of homework, because some of that retention and regaining, it doesn't really help our young people really fully get it. But how could we be a little more strategic around how what we want our young people to learn is actually getting learned in the most robust, fun, playful way possible? Because at the end of the day, let's face it, our kids are kids. And so developmentally, there's a need that we must address with that. And then we must also keep in mind that they're in a learning environment. So ultimately, we want to make sure our kids are learning. So I think that we need to have very transparent conversations with all of our parents to be very clear about, and also think about collectively, but being very clear about what learning and what a rich learning environment should look like and feel like for our kids. It shouldn't just be hours of homework where our young people are not being able to participate or, you know, in recreational, fun, social learning environments. Mm-hmm. But we also know that some homework is important and very critical. So when I see young people with homework and they have just one page that might be front and back of homework, I'm like, maybe that's not enough. If you could whip this and have it done in 10 minutes, maybe let's make sure that we're being intentional about reading some books, maybe mm-hmm. a half an hour a day or whatever. But we need to find the balance and really think about how we're able to merge those two worlds of, the families that are really academically driven and the families that are thinking more socially, fundamentally, like, let's service our young people so they can be having more robust hands-on learning. So mm-hmm. merging the two.